good Sunday afternoon to you, and welcome to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. I want to thank you for joining us this Sunday afternoon on a show where we talk about a little bit of everything.
Agreed, yes.
Look, all things wellness.
Yes, and yeah. Some. Yeah, so we've got our health aspects, but sometimes I take us down a rabbit hole, and you're very good about keeping me accountable and getting us back on track.
It's about time I get credit for doing it.
Yeah, and you never go off topic, ever, so.
First full week of school.
Correct.
Everything's crazy on campus. We had a show last week, really good show last week, about getting involved and how that can – we really – some of the numbers were amazing to me about – the more you get involved, how successful you are at graduating on time. That just kind of blew me away. I didn't know that. I know that there's a point of diminishing returns. You get too involved.
Right.
It's probably going to take you a little longer. But
no. Well, and you know, honestly, that was the logic that I had before our guests came on, thinking like, well, goodness, if this person is tied up in all these other things, how are they going to have time for academics? But we know when students are plugged in, it kind of gives them more invested identity in the university, and it makes them want to be more academically diligent, and they've got, you know, great social support. So it makes sense for sure.
It's really interesting because I come in, like, I mean, you see so many people come in and graduate, you know, in 3 years and get it all done and move on to grad school and that sort of thing. I was on the 6-year plan myself.
Hey.
And that doesn't
that's
include
okay.
grad school.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, but, you know.
Hey. Well, you know, thinking about just because, of course, my mind always goes to vacations. Tomorrow's Labor Day.
Yes.
Are you doing anything fun?
Nothing. Fun for me, you know, we talked about this last week. It's still baseball season, there'll be baseball games on.
Okay.
And my pool will still be in my backyard. So the two things that I do for fun, I'll be doing on.
Yeah.
On
now, do y'all have a fancy setup where you have a TV that you can see from the pool or like outside, all that stuff?
Yeah,
okay.
I don't do all that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're two independent entities.
Yes.
You're either in the pool to be in the pool and have fun, or you're inside to watch TV.
That's
on
fair.
On the couch, dozing.
No, right. That is fair. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I gotcha.
Are you not? Your thoughts on baseball, real quick.
I mean, I have come to enjoy the sport. I really have, you know, and in part, I hadn't gone to a baseball game in forever. And then when we started recording the show a few years ago, I was like, I'm going to actually go to a baseball game. And I think I even tapped you on the shoulder. I was like, look, I'm here with my husband. Right. And so I felt very festive that day. It was very relaxing. Honestly, my favorite part though is listening to what the intro music is for every player. That's what makes me wish that I had been a D1 athlete so that I could have picked some really fun music. I know that is really superficial and shallow, but I'm just keeping it real right now. I like knowing what their intro music is like before a batter comes up. TBH. So
I'm not going to comment on that, because that's the best that you can get out of baseball. But I feel like I'm so not alone, because usually in this room, I'm like usually the only baseball fan. But we have a great guest with us today that
we
I think will probably side with me more than with you and Sarah.
I think maybe.
I don't know. It's very similar. We'll get into that in a little bit. So what are your plans for tomorrow?
Man, I got to get stuff ready for this baby coming. Man, earlier this week, we actually had one of those 4D ultrasounds done. Uh-huh. So he looks like all squished up. He looks like me. He was sleeping, and I feel like most of my life has been sleeping. But again, see, I'm getting off topic. You need to keep me accountable.
That's good. I mean, and you're due in October.
I am due in October, and that's why I'm so pumped that we have Sarah as part of our trio, because I know she's going to hold down the fort and keep you accountable while I'm gone. So
hopefully
yes,
we shall see.
I know. But we've got tons of show for you guys this afternoon. We want you to stick with us. You know, we've got Sarah joining us in just a little bit, and then we've got our awesome mystery guest that JJ is a fan of, and I know that Sarah and I will be a fan of too. But stick with us this afternoon. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
50 Tile with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. And we want to thank you for sticking around with us after the break. Got a great show ahead of us.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. You know, as you guys know, regular listeners, we try to stick with wellness topics, stay within that spectrum of things. And, you know, occasionally we get kind of a little, you can't get outside your headlights with wellness, really, too much.
You really can't, because it's applicable to everybody. And, you know, we've all got to live it. So,
right.
I don't know. I think that's what's lucky about us in this show. Like, we could really have anyone we want, and right. it ties in well. But you did an exceptional job today, because today it super ties in.
Yeah, and before we introduce our guests, I will tell you, I have personally, like, seen all of the things that they do, her group does. And if every student – you've heard me say this before. If every student on campus here did the things that they did with their group – everybody would be super successful. I mean, it's just they do just such a great job, and we'll get into all that. Sarah, on the other hand, here is not on the other hand, on the same hand.
Oh, thanks a lot, JJ.
That didn't sound good.
Sarah, on the other hand, I'm not successful.
Successful, Sarah. On the other hand, I mean, you have your things that you talked about a little bit last week. You came in and, you know, after going to your undergrad at South Alabama and then coming up here, you kind of had an idea of what to expect and everything and how to get settled in and how to jump in real quick and have set those good habits.
I did, but I think it helped being an older student coming back and being prepared for it. Had I been younger, I would have been in a much different boot.
Right, right. And go ahead, Gina. Sorry.
Oh, no. I was going to make a snarky comment that probably would have been directed towards you, but in compliment of Sarah, so I'll hold off. But go ahead, John.
Similar to last week, we have a motherly show, and this is, again, in honor of Sheena being a mother in a couple of months.
Yes.
And that motherly thing. I do think it is important that we spend a couple of shows talking about, you know, just how important it is to I see so many people that come in as freshmen or transfer in from a junior college. Mm-hmm. And yes, this is a big university, and it's easy to get lost in it, but it's a big university with a small feel. I mean, we offer so many things here that you can, any problem you have, any issue you have, anything that comes up, there are places and things and to address any issue that you have. And, you know, I just think it's important that we spend a little time talking about kind of what those things are and where they are and that sort of thing.
No, I like that. Just like character development overall. And my comment really was not degrading at all, but I was just going to say, I'm just excited that Sarah is here again. That means you have some good resilience. You survived last week's show. You didn't think that we were too crazy or silly. So I really appreciate the fact that you're going to stick with us for the long haul. So that's all I was going to say. It was just that I'm grateful that she's still here.
Yeah, quick FYI. I don't know if we mentioned it last week. When Sheena goes out for her 2-year maternity leave, Sarah's going to be stepping in for her for a little bit.
That's right.
Sheena, we do expect you to call in.
Oh, I will totally call in. I'll be listening in on Sunday afternoons. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. We're going to make this happen for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, look, I'm not going to waste any more time. I'm going to jump in before y'all get a chance to and introduce our guest.
Yes, please do.
I'm a big fan, and I watched her pitch here. Not baseball, softball. And a great pitcher here who – I'll let her tell you a little bit about her background, but she's gone on to be a head coach at a couple of other schools and come back here. And we're very, very, very fortunate to have her as our pitching coach now. And the reason we have Stephanie on, Stephanie Van Brakel, Pro Throw, mouthful.
Yes.
But Stephanie, I think we're fortunate to have you on here, and the reason I wanted you to be on here is because you guys have such a, you know, just such a strong program. I've talked to Coach Murphy about it before, and y'all do so much for your athletes to take care of them and make sure that they're successful. And just being able to talk about those things and see what, you know, what y'all do, there are things that other students can do that are similar to that, mm-hmm. that'll make them successful. But before we get into that, let's go back a little bit to Right after your pitching days, how long was it before you got into coaching?
Probably like a month. I graduated in 2007 from Alabama, and it was about 2 months after that I got my first job at Birmingham Southern, and I was the assistant coach for a year. But in December of 2007, I got offered the head coaching position for the following year, for the next year, which I accepted. So I was at Birmingham Southern for 3 years, one as an assistant, two as a head coach, and then I got the Samford in Lakeshore area, right across the street, basically. Right. Yeah. I got the head coaching job there for a year before I came back here to be the assistant.
So before we get into all that that we offer here, that you guys offer here, did you – when you were a head coach, did you try to incorporate a lot of those things?
Yeah, of course. I think that it was important for us to do what I grew up. My whole concept behind like me being a coach and wanting to be a head coach again someday is that I want to give a great experience, because I had a great one here. Not only as a student, as a student, but as an athlete. And we do a really good job. And Murph and Allie obviously coached me here. So it's been consistent throughout, like the things that they stress upon for the girls. And I just think a lot of the stuff is valuable. And it's not just softball stuff. It's, you know, life skills and being a better person and, you know, character things and all things that kind of mold you into the, you know, the great adult that we all hope that they become after they leave our program. So I definitely used a lot of stuff that we did here when I was playing at Birmingham Southern and at Samford with our student athletes.
Right.
That's awesome. Steph, just out of curiosity, you know, listening about, you know, the year that you had finished up at UA, it sounds like we were in undergrad around the same time. Are you originally from the state of Alabama, or where's home?
I'm from Chambersburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
That is an hour south of Harrisburg for anybody that doesn't know the great state. but I'm about 13 hours from Tuscaloosa. So my whole family still lives back there. So we go back about once or twice a year to kind of visit. But it was quite the culture shock when I came to school here, because it's completely different, the North and the South. But ever since I was 18, I haven't moved out of Alabama.
Yeah.
So clearly I love it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the weather's great. That's the, you know, that was the number one thing on my list when I was getting recruited, is I wanted to go somewhere where the weather was going to be nice. And Penn State football is big where I'm from.
Sure.
But it's nothing like Alabama football. And I saw that when I came on my recruiting visit here.
Okay. I was just curious. I was like, I wonder how long it took her to start saying y'all.
Yeah.
Not once she got
2 years
here.
In, I think.
Okay.
Well, speaking of culture shock, did you go to a small high school? Or?
No, I graduated with 800 kids in my class.
Okay.
So our high school's pretty big. It's even bigger now. Both my nieces went to the same high school that I went to, and it's they're like 1,000 kids in those classes.
Okay. So she went to a slightly larger high school than me. I went through the culture shock, but my culture shock was going from graduating with 40 to here.
That's y'all are hitting each end of the spectrum for sure.
so real quickly before we go to break, what would you say was the biggest adaptation that you had to make to Tuscaloosa?
I would say the pace was the first thing. Everything's a little bit slower, and learning how to slow down when I talked, because when I first moved down here, it was a mile a minute. And sometimes when I get like really fired up, it all comes back, my northern ways. But just learn how to be slow, patient. And then I guess the other thing is that just adjusting to how big football is down here, because there's no professional sports, you know, in Alabama, where like where I'm from, there's the Eagles, the Steelers, you know, you got the Phillies, you know, you got, you know, you got the Pirates, you got a lot of other sports that you can be, you know, be a fan of. But here it's Alabama, Auburn. So that was really shocking for me. I mean, I was blown away the first Alabama Auburn game.
Yeah. And I think most people are that are from out of state. But no, this has been awesome so far, Steph. I know you've kind of shared some of your history with us, and then we're going to be going into our next segment just talking about, you know, what you guys really do with the softball program. But you guys, we got to take a break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 Castro.
Welcome Welcome back to Fitch Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. And we are here, I am here with a room full of women. We have Sarah, who is going to be hosting with us in the near future and is co-hosting with us today. We got Sheena and we got Stephanie Van Brakel Prothrow, who is the University of Alabama softball pitching coach. And again, thank you so much for being here. I mean, I knew it was just a matter of time before I was going to get you on here.
Yeah.
And because you guys do such a good job with, again, everything that you do. And just real quickly, from your perspective, like from when you were a player to where we are now, can you tell us like some things that have changed in what y'all do to, you know, to prepare your student athletes?
Yeah, I would say, well, obviously when I was a student athlete here, video and technology is not where it is today. Mm-hmm. So just in, you know, as part of the game preparation, video wasn't that big of a deal. But now, like, we have video on every opponent. We have video on the kids. So I feel like we can really be, you know, instructive in coaching them. But we can also show them, like, videos more, you know, easily because we have the video room there. Like, half of what's at the softball stadium now was not there when I was there.
Sure.
Right. So the indoor wasn't there. The media room where we meet with the girls every day, where Murph will have speakers come in and talk, or we will roll videos and different kind of life lessons things we want to talk about that day. None of that was there when I was here.
Right.
So that's all in addition. Thanks to Miss Ann Rhodes and her, you know, $2 million donation, we got an upgrade to that facility, which has been a huge plus for us, especially the media room, because we meet there every day with the team, and Murph's really good about bringing in different people to talk, and it could be like a CEO of a company to somebody here, a professor on campus, that come in and talk to the girls about just how they manage their company or how they run things and, like, the similarities between what we do at Alabama Softball and what you do in the world.
Sure.
And so you said that you have a lot of guests that come in. So about how much time are you spending with the players away from the softball field?
I would say probably anywhere from 30. Well, it really, we're on the job all the time. So if they need us, we're there. You know, as you know, things come up in their life that we have to address. But as far as like teaching them life skills, and we went on a retreat last year and we'll go again this year. And we'll spend like some quality time talking about, you know, how to be a good leader and how to be a great teammate and how to get along with a variety of different people, because that's what we're in all the time. You know, we have people from California to Florida to Pennsylvania to Iowa. And so it's about getting everybody to be, you know, on the same page, even though we all have different backgrounds. But I'd say like once a week, Murph has a speaker come in and talks to them. And we spend like 30 minutes to an hour talking with that person. They speak, and then the girls ask questions. We write down notes, and they kind of stick around for practice afterwards. So that's always been a thing. He had people come out whenever I played too. It was just outside. Now it's like in the media room. So last year we had Scott Cochran come and talk to the girls.
Yeah.
Right before the postseason, he was really good. We've had Nick come and talk. We've had just a variety, you know, of people. We've had our sports psychologist come and talk, Brett McCabe, if you know him. But just, you know, a variety of any – it could be anybody. It's just whoever Murph runs into and he finds it interesting. I think this would be great for the girls. And then they show up at the field.
Yeah. Well, Steph, I know you just mentioned that, you know, it seems like media and technology – has really been a game changer from the time you were a player to now being a coach with a team. And just thinking back to the time that you were a student compared to now, and of course, me as a dietitian, I have to be curious and thinking, like, how do you think nutrition has been a game changer? Because I know back in 07, we didn't have Amy Bragg and her team mm-hmm. of sports dietitians working with all of our different sports, including softball. So do you feel like that has been a big game changer? Do you feel like there was a dynamic sports nutrition program back then when you were playing as there is now with you as a coach?
Yeah, we didn't really have a dietitian when I was in school. So that has been a huge plus and positive, having Amy and her staff that works with our strength coaching staff, that works with our athletic training staff. They're the sports performance kind of like
right.
part of it. And just the girls knowing how to hydrate properly, how to eat, what they need to have before a game, what they need to have after, to be able to recover has all been, I mean, I've learned a ton just from listening and paying attention to when they come in and talk. So I think that's huge. And they talk about sleep, you know. Oftentimes we forget, like, sleep is just as big of a part of fueling your body, because you got to be able to rest and recover. And sometimes that's hard as a student athlete because we're going a mile a minute. You're going from like 6 a.m. until maybe sometimes 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
And so you're trying to find time to, you know, get all this stuff in and be able to recover to stay at the top of your game. So it is tricky with the scheduling, but I feel like Amy and her staff do a really good job of, like, guiding the girls and really being there with them step by step through the whole process.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I was just curious about that because I know that our sports nutrition, especially in support of our Division I athletes, is completely different from that 07 era compared to now. So, yeah, I had to ask about that.
And when you start talking about, like, everything that you just mentioned, I mean, it's all those things about wellness that we talk about. I mean, obviously, you just hit on a lot of the physical ones. And Michelle does a great job, with the strength training program that you guys have is I used to body comp all the, as you probably remember, do body comp for all the teams on campus. And I honestly, softball was probably one of the top, I mean, in terms of being in good condition, is right there at the top with any team that we have. And I know Michelle's done a great job with that. And, I do have to ask you, when Scott came over and talked to y'all, did he almost blow a gasket? Because it takes him a little while to get fired up.
It does, but he has good stuff to say, and I love his passion. Yes. You know, for just, you know, the student athlete, like, and being great and being excellent. And I think, you know, that whole staff, like Nick and Scott, do a great job of, like, pushing excellence, not just on the field, but as a person. And let's be excellent in all areas of our life. So I thought what he had to say to the girls was awesome. And he got fired up. He cussed a little bit. And then he was like, are you sure I can do that? Can I do that? And he wasn't really sure. I'm like, yeah, I cuss at him all day long, you know. Let's get fired up in here.
Let's do whatever we need to do to make it happen. Yes.
Yeah, he had called me one day about doing body comp for a particular player, and for the first 2 minutes of the call, I did not believe it was him because he wasn't yelling at me. Mm-hmm. It was like just talking to a normal person. Uh-huh. So I was like, I thought it was one of my friends just playing a trick on me or something. But you know, I do have to mention too, when you look at, like, all of those things that y'all do, me and Murph have talked about before. Like, you guys have the players clean up the locker room.
Yes.
After themselves. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. One of Murph's saying is, to whom much is given, much is expected in return. Mm-hmm. So we were given $2 million for a nice facility, and especially an upgrade and expansion. So we need to take care of it. So they have a picture of what their locker should look like. That's on the bulletin board, how neat it should be, where things should be hanging. And then there's a Cinderella Club is what we call it. And they're divided into four different groups, and each group has a leader of that group, and they're responsible for a variety of cleaning tasks every day, like vacuuming, making sure the trash is picked up, making sure the locker room looks decent, the team lounge area where there's food, making sure those tables are wiped down, food's put away, and indoor where the softballs are at, making sure all the softballs are picked up and it's organized. And if something isn't met up to standard, then the leader of that group is held to the consequence of it. So it's kind of teaches them a little responsibility of, like, whoever the leader is needs to make sure that their group is doing what they need to do. And if they're not, either the leader does it, picks up the slack, and then addresses it later, or they make everybody come back and do it again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm geeking out over here, the fact that it's called, like, Cinderella Club, and thinking, wow, like, I hope there's some, like, mommy bloggers, like, listening to our show right now, because they could totally go with that and, you know, use that schematic, like, with their kids in terms of, like, cleaning and everything. It's like, don't you want to be a Disney princess too? Like, let's join the Cinderella Club. So I think that that is perfect. But, Steph, I hope that you'll stay on with us for a couple more segments. You've given us some great information, and I know that Sarah, John, and I have some additional questions and are biting at the bit to ask, but it is that time again, y'all. We got to take another break. We got to give y'all a break. Hopefully you can grab a nice, wonderful drink and then, you know, join us on this hot afternoon. But you are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 91.7 Blackstone.
back to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. And we're continuing our conversation with University of Alabama softball pitching coach. And I don't think we could have had a better guest to talk about some of the programs and some of the things that they do to actually prepare their athletes for life. Mm-hmm. No other way to say it, for life. I mean, what we were just talking about before the break, being responsible and taking care of yourself. And one thing that I've noticed, and you kind of breezed over it, what your locker is supposed to look like. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, mm-hmm. but I don't know if y'all still have it up, mm-hmm. but the sample locker. The lockers are, for those of you that don't know, it's kind of an open locker. And in that open locker, I mean, I can tell you what it looks like in a baseball locker room. Okay, I mean, it's not the neatest thing in the world. What you guys have a sample locker of what where everything is supposed to go.
Yes, they're like bat bags are supposed to be on the left side. They're supposed to hang all their shirts and belts and stuff up on a hanger on the right. And then there's some shoe boxes for like their turfs, their cleats, their sneakers. And then they also have a top part where they can put like personal items if they need to or extra kind of storage up there. Right. And there is a lock, like a combination that they can lock stuff up. None of ours really use it because we're the only people that really have access in there. Right. But they put stuff like deodorant, hair stuff, whatever they want, their bows for game day, you know, things of that sort. But everything has its own little spot in their locker.
Have you gotten any feedback from the athletes and how they feel about that process?
I think not really. Our girls just, you know, they just know that's the expectation with the program and how, you know, the coaches expect, especially Murph, expect it to look. And if it's not that way, they get fussed at. So I think that I would hope it helps them organize their own personal stuff, like in their dorm, like, hey, I need to have a, you know, space for this and kind of get it together like that. Because, you know, for a lot of them, it's, you know, the freshmen, it's their first time away from home. You know, and away from their parents, doing all that kind of stuff. So I would hope it would give them some sense of direction and how they should be organized and how to, you know, properly store things and make sure you want to be neat. And, you know, I don't want to show up with a wrinkly shirt. That's why they have to hang up their uniform stuff. And the managers usually do the laundry for them, but the managers hang it back up on their loop in the locker. So even though it's on a loop, it's still hung up so it doesn't get wrinkled.
Well, you know, you just, Steph, you mentioned the freshmen. How much ownership do you think your upperclassmen players take alongside the coaches in terms of developing those freshman players? Do you kind of see that naturally happening a lot of times where those veteran players are wanting to really invest in the freshmen because they see them as their teammates? You know?
And that is spot on exactly what our upperclassmen do, especially the seniors. You know, we talk all the time about it's their team, and everybody was a freshman at one point. You know, everybody was a freshman, so we all know that feeling of it's brand new, I'm overwhelmed, I'm away from home, I need some guidance. So our girls really do a great job of making sure that people don't get homesick, spending a lot of time together. If somebody is feeling kind of like lonely, you know, they invite them over to their apartment.
That's great.
Doing activities outside of softball to keep them busy and entertained and making sure that they're staying on top of their studies and making sure they're managing their time. Because I think that's like the biggest thing and the biggest adjustment is that we have so much going on and it's at an intensity that they've never had before and they get overwhelmed. You know, they got school, they got weights, they got running, they have this, they have that, and I got to go to study hall. And so it's a lot in their lives and sometimes it's way more than what they ever did in high school, you know? So I think just having the seniors there saying like, it's going to be okay. We're going to make this. How can I help you? And not just the seniors, like all of them do it, the sophomores, the juniors, they all take responsibility into making sure the newbies feel comfortable and are, you know, very welcoming of them.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
Okay, this is the point where I go off script.
Okay, I like
it. We're fixing to take a trip down outside of Wellness Road.
That's cool.
Okay. Can my son be Cinderella for a day?
Yes.
Because he really needs to learn how to clean up his room. And I think y'all could do wonders with him.
Yeah. We can give him some tasks to do at the field.
Hey, I think we might. I think we might be sending him over there for a little bit. Real quick story. Coach Murphy came and he's talked to our staff at the rec center, and we have about 300 or 400. We're the largest student employer on campus. We probably have about 300 or 400 students that work for us. He came over and talked to us a couple of years ago, and one of the things that he talked about was how when when somebody comes up to practice, let me go back a step. He invited me over to practice one day, and we're just across the road from them. So I go over to watch practice, and practice hadn't started yet. And before I mean, I'm walking into the stadium, and it's like I'm attacked by, you know, like people working on the field. You know, there were some girls out throwing already and stretching and stuff. And it's like, I thought, okay, maybe I'm not supposed to be out here because, like, everybody just swarms to me. But then when they got there, it wasn't like kicking me off the field. It was like, you know, hey, you know, what are you doing? What can we do for you? And it was as friendly of an environment as you can get. Now, going back to Coach Murphy talking to our staff, he talked one of the things that he talked about, and this isn't just talk. This is something that he puts into practice. He talked about how y'all have kind of this friendly competition of if y'all have a visitor or somebody like that, who can be the first person to welcome them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you talk about social skills and the ability to, you know, interact with people, that's something that's so overlooked. And you see people, they come here, they come to school, they do well physically, you know, mentally, emotionally, even socially. You can have your social group of friends, but interacting with somebody that you don't know can be awkward.
Mm-hmm.
What y'all do with that is, and I know that's not a question, but
yeah,
answer it anyway.
Yeah, I just think that one thing that he's always preached is be first. So right. Be first to introduce like yourself, that. Be first in the classroom, be first to sit in, you know, in the first two rows of a classroom so that the professor always sees you. But when anybody comes to the field, always be first and go introduce yourself because they're coming into an environment they're not a part of every day.
Right.
So they already feel uncomfortable. So we're there every day. So it's our job to be welcoming and invite them in. And we want to be inviting because we want people to be out at the games. We want people to come to practice. We want people and students to be involved with our program. So he's always preached that even when I was there. I mean, we go as far as teaching these the student athletes how to shake a hand, you know, the proper ways to shake a hand and writing thank you notes and having an attitude of gratitude. These are all things that, like, I heard when I played that continue to be taught in our program. So, you know, and it's just not at the softball field that, you know, he expects us to be friendly at. It's anywhere because, you know, the R girls, since we're on TV so much, are recognized.
Yeah.
So being able to converse with anybody on wherever. It could be eating at Moe's Barbecue downtown to I'm at the library and somebody, you know, comes up and starts talking to me. So the girls have a sense of, you know, responsibility and they feel like, you know, like it's their program too. And this is what, you know, I want people to say about Alabama softball. And I think that's true from, you know, when I played to now. And the girls really take ownership in that. And I really appreciate that. Being an alum of the softball program is that they continue to take pride in making sure that Alabama softball is seen in this great positive light.
No, I just, yeah, I love that your players have had this attitude of the fact that they're representing the program 24/7, because you're right, you know, they whether they are going grocery shopping or whatever else, going out to eat, mm-hmm. they're representing the program, even if they're not in uniform, so that's amazing.
Right. And we have to stress that even more now with social media. And, you know, we've had the talk the last couple of weeks about Snapchat and Instagram. And, like, when you post something, it really is – it doesn't go away for real. Like, employers look at that. So you need to be smart. That's just not for our girls. That's for everybody out there. Like, be smart about what you're putting out there because you're representing – you know, if you're not a part of a group, you're representing yourself then. And what do I want to put off for that employer or, you know, that next job opportunity or that just next opportunity in life? You know, you just never know. And somebody could look at it and be like, oh, man, I'm not going to – you have a great presentation. You have a great resume. And then, boom, we look at your social media. We can't hire this person, you know, or I don't think this would be a good fit for what we're doing here. So I just think that, you know, be mindful of that kind of stuff. And I get it. Everybody wants to snap and do that kind of stuff. But just be mindful of what you're putting out there.
No, that is huge. And,
great advice.
Yeah. I mean, this whole afternoon we have been able to tell just how passionate you are about the program, and clearly, you know, with Coach Murphy, you know, his passion for it really radiates, and I know your players have it too. And so, Steph, we have our last segment. Do you mind sticking around with us for it? We're going to go in a different direction.
Okay,
you guys, something exciting is in store, so you got to stick with us. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fitch Be Tie with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. And we want to thank you for hanging around with us this afternoon. We close things down. We want to thank Stephanie Van Brakel, ProThrow. Again, a mouthful. We got to do something
yes.
about that.
But such anyway, a powerful name. I just said that off air.
But thanks for being here. Thanks for hanging around for this last segment.
Yeah,
we have a little fun with this, but really great advice. And for those of you that have been listening to this, take this advice. Yes, you may not be on the softball team, but take the things that she said and try to implement them, because I've watched over the years, watched these groups of softball players come through, and they come in young and they come out great adults. Mm-hmm. So y'all do a great job with them.
Thank you.
Now it's time for Sheena Talks About a Food.
Yes, and I still love the fact that you came up with the title of that segment.
I just like saying it.
I know. It's catchy. But, yes, so as we start this new semester, I do have a food. And so, you know, we want Steph to be involved as well as Sarah to compete against John. And I think this one is – I think it could be easy. Like, I'm even right up front going to be telling you guys what food group it is. So I'm going to read off my 7 facts, and then y'all can guess. How's that?
Can I ask you a quick question?
Of course.
Is this a healthy food that's going along with what we're doing?
Don't give him any additional information.
If it's healthy, I probably won't eat. But is it a healthy food that our students should be eating?
Yes, it has a lot of great health benefits.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
How's that? Yeah.
Let's
so
roll.
We won't. Yeah.
All right.
So we gotta. I'm a dietitian. We gotta go with healthy. Okay.
Okay.
So to the astonishment of most North Americans, this fruit is consumed worldwide by a factor of 3 to 1 over bananas and 10 to 1 over apples. It can come in different colors, such as yellow, orange, red, and green. The vitamin content of this fruit depends. JJ, don't look on your phone, on the variety and the maturity of the fruit. So when it's green and still growing, it has a high vitamin C content, but as it ripens and matures, the amount of vitamin A actually increases. A basket of this fruit is considered a gesture of friendship in India. The fruit is actually related to cashews and pistachios, which I thought was really interesting. It is the national fruit of India, Pakistan, and the Philippines. That's probably why I chose it with the Philippines part. And 1 cup of this fruit is about 100 calories, 25 grams of carbohydrate, and 100% of the daily needed value for vitamin C. What could this fruit be?
Well, being the gentleman that I am going to let Sarah and Stephanie guess first. And then I'm going to give you guys the right answer.
Is it a mango?
Perhaps. Other guesses?
I was thinking mango or you said yellow, green.
Red,
what were the colors again?
Red and orange.
Red, yeah. Orange, yellow, and green. I was thinking mango.
Okay. John, what's your guess?
Okay, I wrote down my guess.
Okay, let me see. What?
But I'm going to change it. I'm going to change it to mango.
I'm going to change it to mango.
Okay. But it was...
It was an apple. Okay, a freaking apple. Okay.
Because I got to be right.
Well, again. So... the answer is mango. Yay! Ladies. Woo-hoo. John, I even said that it's not an apple.
Yeah.
That it's like
yeah.
it's consumed 10 to 1 over
look,
apples.
I was thinking.
He was trying to take notes. Really he got flustered.
Well, congrats to Sarah and Steph. I do not have prizes today. We'll think of something creative to give you guys. But good job. What do you think was, I know we only have a couple seconds left of the show, but what do you think was the biggest giveaway with that?
When you gave the colors.
Okay.
And
okay.
thought, and you yeah. said a lot of vitamin C.
Okay.
Sarah, colors, yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, perfect. Well, of course, you know, like I said, national fruit of the Philippines, and I am Filipino, Filipino-American, so a little partial to that. But you guys, great job and great show, but y'all, it's the end of the afternoon. I know that you're sad, but the great news is we have got a whole lot of show the rest of this fall semester, so be sure to tune in on Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock. You have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. We'll